Good morning, everybody. If you could turn back, please, to page 887. That's where we're going to be spending our time. We're in Daniel, well, officially chapters 10 through 12, but so that we're not here until 6 o'clock tonight, we're only going to focus on a short section, which is a great shame. However, page 887. While you're looking that up, I can tell you that I never studied physics. I went to lots of physics classes, but I never studied physics. Although I do remember a guy at school in a white coat. I guess he might have been the teacher, I'm not sure. He showed us how you could shine a single light of white light into a prism, and out the other side would come a kaleidoscope of different colours. I've since learned they call it refraction. And I raise this because it's an analogy, really. Throughout the book of Daniel, as Paul said earlier, the main theme, the overarching theme has been the same week in, week out. That is, despite appearances, God is in control. But just like a single beam of light can produce many colours, so it is, as every episode has unfolded, it's refracted into its own unique application of that overall same truth. And that's exactly the same here in chapters 10 through 12. This final vision of the end, this vision of the future, which brings the book of Daniel to its close, but also to its high point. What's distinctive here is the revelation that the God who rules has set a day. He has set a day of deliverance and a day of justice. Chapter 12, verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will arise, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So we might tweak our overall theme slightly and say, despite appearances, there is a future for the people of God. But this nevertheless remains a confronting vision, one full of violence and wickedness and arrogance, terror, hostility, and so much more, all directed against God and His people. In some respects, this is a passage that raises more questions than it answers. But despite some of the detail escaping us, we can see enough to know that the God of Daniel still rules, and there is a future for the people of God. So let's pray as we come to look at this passage now, that God would speak to us through his word. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that you speak to us. And we thank you for this vision that you gave to Daniel. And for our privilege of being able to look back with much more than what he saw. And so, Father, we ask now that by your Spirit we would say, listen to your word and respond with trust and obedience. And we pray that for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, point number one, God's people will suffer. I don't know if you've noticed, but God's people have been constantly under pressure throughout the book of Daniel. Have you noticed that? Whether it's the pressure of conforming to pagan Babylon in chapter 1, whether it's the furnace of chapter 3 or the lion's den of chapter 6 or the accelerating brutality of chapter 7 and onwards, the message seems to be, sooner or later, being faithful to God is going to cost you. And according to chapter 12, verse 1, take a look, sooner or later, the forecast really, it offers no relief. There will be a time of distress such as not has happened from the beginning of nations until then. That is, in the last day, there will be an escalation in hostility against God's people beyond anything that we've seen so far. Chapter 11, verse 33 provides a glimpse where God's people are falling by the sword. They're being burned, they're being captured, they're being plundered. And I'll grant you, against a backdrop like that, it's very difficult to see evidence of God's control. And while Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego might have escaped the furnace, and while Daniel might have been spared in the lion's den, the fact is many will not. Many of God's people will not enjoy such miraculous deliverance. Speaking of Daniel, this vision of the end, it must have been a kick in the guts for him. He qualified for a senior's card long ago. He's got to be 80 plus. He's been faithful to God throughout decades of exile. And finally, his people are allowed to return home, but there's no cushy retirement bonus for Daniel. Now, instead of relief, this vision confirms the suffering of God's people will go on. I'm not talking about the run-of-the-mill suffering that we all have to endure in life in this broken world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about suffering because you are the people of God. Chapter 11, verse 36, speaking of this future time, the king, that is, as a representative of earthly authority, this king will do as he pleases. He'll exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful. And so it goes. Who is this king who inflicts untold damage on God's people? Is it the person Scott introduced us to a few weeks ago, Antiochus the Fourth? Well, yes and no. This vision may have initially referred to him in part, but as they say, a prophecy isn't fulfilled until it's filled full. Antiochus was just a type. Just a type, one of many regrettable tyrants who will treat God's people shamefully. There'll be others. Nero comes to mind, Mugabe, Kim Jong-un. The exile might be over, but the people of God will continue to suffer, though not equally and not all the time. And maybe in our context you sense a hardening of attitudes towards Jesus in general, towards Christians in particular, and against the church especially. And without wanting to overstate it, I think that's right. Oddly enough, though, as Christians being pushed to the margins of power, on balance, probably is a good thing for us. Oddly appropriate, even. Jesus was never at the centre of cultural or community or political power. He was an outsider from birth, hated by the world. So as his disciples, don't be dismayed and certainly don't overreact when the powerful elites restrict our freedoms. It might just be a sign that our experience is beginning to catch up with our status as exiles and strangers in a hostile world. Still, there are reasons for optimism. Look again at chapter 11, verse 33, the whole verse this time. Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. Chapter 12, verse 1. There will be a time of distress. God's people will suffer for a time. And while my instinct might be to ask the question why, that's not the question that's asked here in chapter 12, verse 6. The question is how long? As Paul mentioned, each week in our bulletin, we pray for a nation where God's people are under pressure. This week, as you've heard, it's Iran. This man's name is Nasser. He's a convert to Christianity, and last year he was sentenced to 10 years in prison. What was his crime? His crime was officially missionary activity and actions against national security. Now, we, as people of faith living in Australia, we have, I put it to you, legitimate concerns around our parliament starting to restrict or fail to protect religious freedoms in Australia. I think that's probably right. But when you personalise persecution like this, it has a way of contextualising our concerns. But you know what I reckon proves that the God of Daniel is still in control? Experts believe that one of the main reasons why persecution is rising in Iran is because more and more Muslims are hearing and responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and finding forgiveness in his name. And it's through people like Nasser. Yes, God's people will suffer. Nasser's case is one of thousands, and it needs to be told because you won't read about it in the media. Yet despite appearances, there is a future for the people of God because, point number two, God has set a day. A day of deliverance and a day of justice. We've all had experience of waiting for an important day. I'm told lots of Australians were waiting this week for the launch of the Amazon store. I think they probably need to get out a little more, but there you have it. I know some of you were planning weddings this year. Others were celebrating the end of the HSC. We've all got a sense of what it feels like to anticipate a future day. Now, we don't have a timetable here, but like a fixed navigational marker, we are given a focal point, chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. You're never alone, friends. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes, verse 2. Who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. If ever there was a time where you wanted your name in print, this has got to be it. I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to where people say, oh, they've gone to a better place. And that sentiment, it acts like a shot of adrenaline. It provides relief in the moment. But is it real? Verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Everyone will rise. What matters is whether your name is in the book. Someone passed to me an advertisement recently for a new Bible. It's called Your Personalised Bible, and I quote, "Your personalised Bible puts your name in the Bible more than 7,000 times. That's right. It goes on. Expect a life-transforming impact as you read God's word written personally to you. Oh, Moses, smell the roses. Suddenly the Bible's all about me. You can see what's happening here, can't you? It's God's word to me. The Bible is about me. Anyhow, back to me. It takes narcissistic personality disorder to a whole new level, doesn't it? Now, just in case you're wondering, this is not the way to get your name in the book. Save your money. So how do we make sure? How do we make sure that we're among those who rise to everlasting life? Because that's what matters. Well, we follow Daniel's example. Daniel, the sinner who asked for and received forgiveness. We saw that in chapter 9 last week. But you know, we can be even more confident than Daniel. Because what was hidden from him has since been revealed. And we look back. God's long-settled rescue plan for sinners through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 3, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. If you want your name in the book, be reconciled to God. Ask his forgiveness. Do it now, and then with the help of God's Spirit, put Jesus in charge of your life. Do that. And you will rise to everlasting life. Be aware, however, that the God who delivers is also the God of justice. Have another look, chapter 12, verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who reject God's loving rule, many of whom will have been lovely people, by the way, but their unwillingness to seek God's forgiveness will be to their everlasting shame. The wise response is to get ready. So I need to ask, are you ready? If you know that you're not ready, you've got a problem. And you need to do something. And today is the day. Come and speak to me. Speak to Paul. Speak to someone. Because multitudes are going to rise. It includes you. But if your name is in the book, then I want to tell you, you are in the safest possible hands. Now and into eternity, because you have a secure future. But it raises the question, point number three. If our future is secure, what do we do in the meantime? What do we do now as we wait? Have a look at chapter 12, verse 6. There's a good question gets asked. How long before these astonishing things are fulfilled? Now, maybe it's not what we hoped, but the answer comes in verse 7, for a time, times, and half a time, and then Daniel speaks for us all, I heard, but I did not understand. The point is, a time is set. A time is coming. These events will unfold, and in the language of Acts chapter 17, God's given proof of this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. So what do we do in the meantime? Verse 13. As for you, go your way. In other words, get busy. And I don't mean work harder for your boss. Some of you could probably do with working less. What I mean is, whatever your circumstances, as a child of the living God, get busy like Daniel, a man placed in Babylon by God's set purpose, a man who devoted himself to serving that nation, but whose primary allegiance always and remained to the God of Israel. We watched as Daniel and his friends learned a way of remaining faithful to God while being surrounded by a jealous, tempting, hostile pagan culture. But we also saw that no matter how politely, how sensitively, how quietly they went about it, their determined refusal to conform caused trouble, didn't it? As it was, so it will be. If you resolve to live faithfully as disciples of Jesus in your given situation, there will be flashpoints of conflict. And maybe your experience is a little bit like mine. Friends, family, maybe in your case co-workers have become increasingly suspicious. Suspicious of and frustrated by long-held orthodox Christian values, no matter how sensitively they might be expressed. And I want to say to you, as disciples, we are out of step with the world now, and that is as it should be. That is as it should be. But I want you to take heart. You are no fool. Chapter 12, verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is exactly what Daniel and his friends did amid the darkness of Babylon. They shone like stars. Their faithfulness, despite the consequences, leading even pagan kings to praise the unseen God who rules. They shone like stars. Well, now it's our time. Now it's our time. So equipped by his Spirit, let's pray that our polite, determined witness would be the means through which God calls many to righteousness. There is a future for the people of God. And so, verse 13, go your way to the end, holding fast to that threefold promise. You will rest. Yeah, you'll rest in the dust of the earth, but you will rise, indestructible in Christ. And you will inherit the kingdom of God. And so, all saints, as I sign off, this is the last time I'll get to speak to you like this. I can't think of a better way to finish. I say to you again, go your way to the end. Keep looking to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him. Keep serving him. Keep loving others. Keep waiting for him. Fix your eyes on him. Our deliverer, our saviour and our king. You will rest. You will rise. And you will inherit because there is a future for the people of God.